Hi everybody, hope you're having a great day so far. Before we start today's episode, I just want to give you a small reminder to hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you're listening to today's podcast. And also, if you have the time, if you could feel free to leave us a review, that would help us out tremendously. There are some weird podcast algorithms that are out there. Too scientific for me to comprehend or explain, but it would help us out tremendously if you did that. Thanks for listening to the Northern Nerd Podcast. Trips can be overwhelming to plan, whether you're traveling solo or with a group. A guest today wants to help alleviate some of those common stresses that many folks face when they are planning a trip. Whether it's a trip inside the U.S. or outside the U.S., Rhonda does it all, and she helped us on a couple trips so far when we went out to Oregon, and then also on our most recent trip when we went internationally to Denmark and Norway. Rhonda does a lot of traveling herself, so she's very experienced and gives you that firsthand knowledge. In this episode, we talk about some of her favorite places that she's traveled to, some of her underrated destinations, some travel tips for you to keep in mind, and how she can help you plan your next adventure. After the show, be sure to check out her website, wildatlastravels.com, or follow her on Instagram at wildatlastravels. Now let's get to today's episode. Welcome back to the Northern Nerd Podcast. Today, I am joined by Rhonda Martin, and what we're going to be talking about are summer travels, some things to keep in mind as you, well, you know, if you're taking this long to plan your summer travels, things might get a little dicey, but, you know, keeping your travel plans in mind, she's here to help. She has Wild Atlas Travels. Rhonda, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dalton. Thanks for inviting me. I'm excited to talk about the thing that consumes my brain like 80% of the time.
Yes.
And don't worry if you haven't planned your summer travel already. It's definitely still possible. I have people planning for August trips right now, September trips. I mean, even July, there's a few people. So you're not too late.
All right. There's hope for you yet.
Yes. You just can't be too picky, maybe.
Right. Well, and you've helped us out on a couple trips now, with our trip last summer to Oregon and a little bit of Northern California. And then our most recent trip, my first like international trip to Denmark and Norway. And let me just like get the slow clap going. I'm not going to do it because it might mess with people's speakers and stuff, but just know that I'm doing a slow clap right now, people, because, the most recent trip we went on, it was just like so breathtaking, amazing views, and all the hiking recommendations were great. So, well, besides one like scaring me quite a bit, but I survived, you know,
I made it through. That one got a little bit dicey.
Yeah, I got the adrenaline going a little bit, the heart pumping, but you need that every once in a while. Got to step outside the comfort zone.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's important. So you guys went to Denmark and Norway, and I was super excited to catch up with you about this because I've seen the pictures. They look stunning. You have those like super dramatic peaks in Norway with like bright blue water if the sun hits it, right? I know you guys got some clouds, some rain, but overall it seemed like you got decent weather for early summer in Norway. I mean, it's today I saw like a report and it is like almost winter. So you guys got lucky.
Yeah, it seemed great. Like it was kind of what we expected with, you know, you're going to get some rain while you're in Norway. It's just kind of one of those things. It's inevitable. Yep. And so we came prepared. We had our rain jackets and everything like that. And we were on a mission to hike. And it was nice and comfortable. Like I think if it would have been in the 80s or things like that, it would have been really uncomfortable to be hiking the lengths that we did. But right at like 55 degrees in the morning, we went out and hiked and it was, yeah, just beautiful. So I think, yeah we were very fortunate.
You guys were like, the peaks are so exposed and like open. Mm-hmm. It's not like hiking in Colorado or California where you can get some like good shaded hikes if you're lower elevation. Like you're just like fully exposed, going to be beat down on, destroyed by rain, destroyed by sun, whatever is coming yeah. for you, you have to like be ready for it.
Yeah, it was, I mean, and we were definitely glad to be staying at a place that had like a sauna and a hot tub afterwards, because
yep.
it felt like I don't know, just thinking back to like my high school football days, like the soreness you'd feel after a game. Like that's how it felt when we after a day of hiking and everything like that. But it was like a good kind of sore.
Yeah. So well, Dalton, we you need to it. Get back in hiking shape. I know you trained for the Berkey, but that's like a different movement.
Yeah.
You got to get in some good hiking shape, especially if you're coming to Colorado later this year.
Right. Yeah. I do need to get back into hiking. I don't know how Wisconsin, what elevation I could go to create the same feeling, but we'll try our best. I don't know. Yeah. We have some hills here, but no mountains.
For sure.
we'll make do. So getting into some questions about some of your travels, what's the earliest travel memory that you have?
I really didn't grow up traveling as a kid. It was not, you know, something I was familiar with. The extent of my travels up until probably my junior year of high school was road tripping from my grandparents' house to wherever I lived at the time. So sometimes that was across country, halfway across country, but it was always a road trip of that sort. And I loved being in charge of the maps. Like, it was like back before you had cell phones, you had to like actually print out MapQuest directions.
Yes, and so, the grind. Today's kids will never know.
No, they won't. And I don't, like, I'm not even that old. I'm not even in my 30s yet.
Right.
So
we're still young, gosh dang it. Yeah.
So I was always in charge of like picking the next route, picking the next turn. And I thought it was so much fun. But on one of these road trips, we actually went through Colorado. And at the time, I had thought I went to the North Pole. Not because we were in Colorado, but because we actually went to an amusement park called the North Pole, and it was wintertime. And
I've been to that same place when I was a kid.
Have you? Outside of Colorado Springs?
Yes.
Yes. So it's like at the base of Pikes Peak, one of Colorado's biggest mountains, and you have Santa Claus there year-round. You have reindeer there. You have like amusement park rides. And I remember going back to school and telling kids at school about it. I said, I went to the real North Pole. I saw the real Santa. And no one believed me. And I was so upset. I was like begging them to understand, like I was there. And mm-hmm. alas, it was just in Colorado where I live now, full circle.
It just makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's probably the earliest.
Mm-hmm. Have you been back to the North Pole since?
No, I haven't. I've driven by it because you can drive all the way up to Pikes Peak and you pretty much go right by the entrance up there. But I have yet to venture out there.
Yeah. They had a spaceship ride there. And yeah. my stepmom used to, that's where she grew up, was Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
So when I was like in third grade or something like that, we went out there. And I got sick on the spaceship ride that they had because I just kept going on it over and over. So that's what I remember about the North Pole. So
that's so funny. That doesn't sound as whimsical and enchanting.
No,
as my version.
It does not. You have a way better story there. I don't have good memories.
That's awesome.
Now on the flip side of that, what's the latest trip that you went on?
Latest trip was Colombia last month. I went to a few different areas. I went to Cartagena, Medellin, Guatapé, San Rafael, Maranija. So kind of all over. Colombia is a big country, so I couldn't see it all, but you can never see all of a country in just one visit, no matter where you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's, and that was for like your bachelorette party and everything.
Yeah, I did. So the first half was my bachelorette party. I had 8 other girls come with me. So it was a pretty big crew for going international. I was impressed with everybody that they were
you got
able
it
to,
together.
You know, yeah. make it for the most part. There was a few that weren't able to, but it was a pretty big crew for mm-hmm. being that far away.
Yeah.
And then the second half, just one of my friends and I, her and I really like to do like more adventurous stuff together. And so we took that second half of the week and went and did some other things together. So that was a lot of fun as well. We went paragliding over Medellin, which was fun. I've been skydiving a couple times. And so this was like the relaxed version of that. And it was like, you're
this
just
is chill,
kind of
Rhonda.
Sexy.
Yeah. And so what do you find are the benefits to traveling? So why travel so much? Because I don't know, just keeping up with your travels and everything like that on your page, you're able to explore quite a bit of the world as opposed to, I know there's a lot of people that might think like traveling to making a road trip to Michigan is a long trip. So what are the benefits to traveling?
Yeah. I mean, what aren't the benefits really, other than missing out on some extra money? But other than that, I mean, you learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about other people, other cultures. It really gives you a different perspective on other communities out there. When you just stay in your little bubble, you only learn things secondhand or from the media, which does not always portray an honest picture of what these places are like. So I think it's important to, you know, go and see these places for yourself. It really like humanizes other places. I mean, traveling is just fun. It's just pure joy. Mm-hmm. So that alone, I feel like is a benefit. And then I feel like you get like such a deeper connection with whoever you're traveling with. If you're traveling with yourself, even, you get a deeper connection within yourself. But some of my closest friends have become my closest friends because we've spent a week plus together just out there. We don't know anyone else around us. We're together every night. You know, it's, you have to like problem solve together. So it's really like a boot camp for a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's challenges, whether it's like figuring out transportation in a foreign language. Yeah, if you can make it through that, like with a friend or like your significant other, like you can make it through anything.
Yeah. I mean, you know, first you've survived. Claire is still with you. You made
it. Mm-hmm. We did.
Through public transportation, through biking around Copenhagen.
We didn't get hit. That. Yeah. So I was happy with that. We didn't go in the thick of it when we were in Copenhagen. I was like, let's go by the boardwalk where we're not going to have to worry about a lot of traffic. So
it can be overwhelming, all those bikes.
Yeah, but it was fun. But yeah, I think there's so much to experiencing those different cultures and like seeing how different people interact. But then also, I don't know, I appreciated like the different ways that, I don't know, people dressed really super nice in Copenhagen. You're like, whoa. Like if you're in sweatpants, you're like, whoa, I stick out like a sore thumb here.
For sure. So anywhere in Europe, if you're in sweatpants,
like go with the culture. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're standing out if you're in sweatpants. And Copenhagen is really known for their fashion and people really like show off their personalities with fashion, but like in such a tasteful way. So yeah, that's cool that you noticed that.
Yeah, we ended up getting a couple shirts from there. So I was like, I'm in a t-shirt. I feel a little underdressed. So,
oh, no.
Yeah, I wasn't in sweatpants.
About this by Claire.
I wasn't, but it was okay. Got a couple more nice short sleeve shirts now. Courtesy
I saw
of,
you got a big, thick wool sweater, too.
Yeah, that was what we were on the hunt for. Like the whole time we were in Norway, I was like, all right, we got to find a nice Norwegian sweater. Get us through these cold Wisconsin winters. So
yeah,
we both got one
and get use out of it.
Yeah, so we were excited. The guy that sold them to us was talking them up pretty well. He's like, oh yeah, you guys are gonna take these back to America and be the warmest people there. It's like, all right, we're already sold on it, like we're good.
That's awesome. I'm glad you guys got those. And then I mean, my like biggest and most vivid memories are of travel. And I don't know why you wouldn't want to make those kind of memories. Like some of my best, most exciting days are abroad or, you know, even just a few hours away somewhere else in Colorado, like, we're here only once, like, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed our health tomorrow. So why not do it, you know, when you can?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our biggest thing, like on this trip, as we were going up our first hike, I was just kind of thinking like, yeah, I won't always be able to do this. So why not take advantage of the body that I have right now and making the most of doing these adventurous things? Like, I don't know. Yeah. I think what we like about our trips, like the ones that you've planned for us, especially like doing a little bit of the city stuff and then going to the countryside or going to do stuff recreationally. So yeah. You feel like you're plugged in to the busyness and chaos, but then you're also able to just relax and experience all that places nature has to offer too.
Yeah. And that's how I do most of my trips too. Mm-hmm. I love the city. I love the food in a city and the architecture and people watching and meeting people, but being out in nature is like the creme de la creme, and that is where I thrive and feel the most like excitement, and you almost get like an adrenaline rush when you're mm-hmm. out seeing these like new landscapes and experiencing the sights and the sounds and the smells, or the quietness and stillness of a place. So I love planning. I love when other people are open to planning a trip that way and not only basing themselves in a city the whole time. I mean, there are people that's truly what they want, or mm-hmm. they only want a city hop. I'll plan it, like, gladly if that's really what you want. But I try to encourage people to at least take a portion of their trip and just like get away from it all and experience something a little bit opposite of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people find an appreciation for that, because it doesn't matter where you go, there's always those little pockets of nature that you can experience.
Yeah, for sure.
So where are most people traveling to in the summer of 2025?
2025. Italy and Greece are hot once again. Mm-hmm. They have been, and they just continue to soar. I do see a lot of like people trending towards getting away from like some of the big cities and trying to find, you know, different Greek islands that are a little bit less crowded, less busy, or escaping to islands of Italy, whether it's Sicily or Sardinia, and escape, or like going north into the Dolomites. So I think that is going to continue to be really popular. I've had a lot of Montana trips this year, which is
okay.
Kind of random. It was like one after another. And so people are excited about Montana this year. So that's mm-hmm. been fun for me to plan. Obviously lots of nature involved with that. So it's been exciting to see people get out and do that. But other than that, I mean, Costa Rica is always busy like year round, even in their green season. I'm going this month now I'm going, and it's going to be the green season. So it means higher chance of rain, but you get a lot more wildlife. You get a lot more lush, green, picturesque views, like kind of what you imagine in Costa Rica, versus in the dry season. It's a little bit, you know, a little bit more dingy looking in certain mm-hmm. parts of the country. Not ugly by any means, but it's just a different experience. So those mm-hmm. places are all popular right now. I mean, people are traveling. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So there's a big variety.
There's a lot of people that ask us like, why Norway? And we just wanted to go somewhere that, I don't know, felt unique. Like, was a place where maybe not a lot of people like in our circle have been to or anything like that. So it was like, I don't know, kind of a fun thing to go off of like what everybody else is doing. Like if everybody else is going to Greece or Italy, it's like, yeah, let's go somewhere else and just experience that too.
Yeah, I agree. I'm right there with you. I remember when you guys first reached out about this trip in particular, you had like big big ideas of like you wanted to go to Norway, to Sweden. You wanted to go to Denmark, yeah. Sweden, Finland, London, like all these places. I was like, okay, great. How long do we have? And you're like, 10 days. And I'm like, no, it's like, take a beat, slow it down.
Big aspirations here.
Yeah. So you guys have a big list of places that you can go back to in that area alone. I mean, Norway, you only saw like a tiny itty bitty corner of it. So there's lots left to be explored. And I'm glad you guys took my advice and kind of narrowed that list down a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and just after, I don't know how many connecting flights we had on the way back home, I was like, yeah, I'm ready to not be in a plane for a little while.
Yeah. You guys were up there very far north and not the easiest place to get to, but I'm really excited that you guys are like, all right, we're doing
it. Let's go for
it. Who cares? Because I feel like a lot of people, they only go to the places, one, like you said, that they've heard about, that their like circle has been to. They've heard about, you know, Aunt Sally has gone to Florida for the past 12 years. So they're like, okay, well, obviously we have to go to Florida because Aunt Sally goes there. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not true. Like, you can break away from this circle. You don't always have to do the same things. And yeah, so I'm glad that you guys did that.
Yeah. And kind of going off of that, in your eyes, what's an underrated travel destination?
Oman is a country in the Middle East, so it's bordered by Yemen, the Arabian Sea, and Saudi Arabia, and a little smidge of the UAE.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's a place that you've been to, correct?
Yes, I have been there. It's incredible. The people, I know, you know, the media makes it sound like everywhere in the Middle East is so dangerous and you can't go there, but that's quite opposite of Oman. They're kind of like the Switzerland of the Middle East. They've never been involved in a war, and the people are so welcoming, so hospitable. Like, driving around in these like tiny little small villages, people are like waving at you. They're like, obviously they're like, those two aren't from here. They're like, where are you from? They're like yelling at you in your car. Like, they want to know who you are, like what you're doing here. The landscape is so varied, and you have deserts, you have mountains, you have what they call wadis, which are like these canyons that have like beautiful oases in them, so it's like filled with water and lush green, vibrant trees, and you can like swim and cliff jump, and then you have like the desert with the sand dunes, and then you also have like some of the most incredible beaches I've ever been to that kind of like rival like Hawaii-esque beaches, so like really big cliffs kind of towering above you, and some like insane marine life. Like, I've seen more turtles there than anywhere else I've ever been to, just swimming offshore. They have whale sharks, you know, like everything. It's just, it's such a beautiful place.
Yeah. Would not have expected that. Like, when you, think of Middle East, you just think desert and everything. So
yeah,
the fact that they have that is pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like camels on the beach, which is insane.
Yeah.
They're like in the water.
Is this real life is probably what would be going through my head if I was sitting on the beach and some camels just like
literally like one of my favorite travel days ever. We were on this beach very like probably 5 miles from the Yemeni border, and there was nobody at this beach. There was nobody around for miles, and we had rented a truck with like a rooftop tent, and you can wild camp in Oman. So you can pretty much camp anywhere, camp on any beach. And so we were camping on this one beach and we were swimming in the water. It was like perfect temperature. And all of a sudden this like fighter jet flew over us, like into Yemen. And it just like made this like, and a jet is like so low to the ground, like, you know, at Lambeau Field when they come over, it's just like this like thunder that like you feel in your body. Like, in the water is this happening. And we're just like in awe of like, we're like, this is wild. And then we get out of the water and we're on the beach. An Arabian fox just like runs by us and we're like, that's dope. And then this guy pulls up out of nowhere and it turns out to be this Italian man who's visiting, and he asks us if we have a lighter or a way to start a fire. And we're like, yeah, we could start up a fire. Like, what do you need? And he was like, well, I was just spearfishing and I caught this lobster and I want to cook it. And we're like, okay, well, like, yeah, we'll cook you a fire. And so we just spent the next few hours like hanging out with this Italian man eating lobster that we just cooked in the sand on a fire.
That is wild.
And it was just like this the whole day was just like, this doesn't feel real, like what you said. Like, This is made up.
Yeah, but it's those experiences that you're able to look back on, like, say, 50 years from now, and you're just like, gosh, remember the time that we did that? It's like, It's by doing, not by talking about it. I think that's the biggest hurdle that a lot of people have to get over, is like, you can talk as much as you want about taking this trip, but like, you got to put some things in place to make that trip happen and go have those experiences.
Yeah, exactly. It seems daunting. I think people really get in their heads about the travel time to certain places. Mm-hmm. And I think like a big part of it is your mindset around that. You just have to flip it. You have to think of that as like part of the experience. It's part of the journey. On a flight, watch Netflix, read a book. Like, I mean, there's things you can do. And you just like, it's part of the game. It's part of the puzzle of like getting there. Mm-hmm. And by the time you are in whatever destination going to, like, you've most likely forgotten all about how bored you were on this other flight.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good way to look at it. Like, you know, it's just like you're waiting in line a little bit to get on this awesome roller coaster. And yeah, it takes a little bit of time, but you know what? You get to go on the awesome roller coaster.
So. Exactly. And then you're off the roller coaster and you're like, that was insane. Let's go again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's go. Let's go to that one, which is, yeah, just right down there. Yeah. What would you say are your top five traveling tips to someone who is new to traveling?
Oh, five.
We can do three.
First. No, I have five at least.
All right. Sounds good.
First, if you don't already have a travel credit card, run. As soon as you're done listening to this podcast, sign up, get that in your pocket, because you're simply throwing away money if you don't have one. There's multiple out there. There's something for everybody, whether, you know, no annual fee, big annual fee for bigger reward. Like, there's such a variety of cards out there. I've paid for so many flights with points. I hate paying cash for flights. I think it's the most annoying thing to pay for. So if I can avoid that at all costs, I'm going to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ended up getting a Capital One card.
Yeah.
And yeah, that helped save us a ton of money because it didn't have any like foreign transaction fees and stuff. So
yeah,
that's really what we used on the whole trip.
Yeah, that's a nice part of it. If you're using, you know, something else that has foreign transaction fees, it's like 2-4% that they add on to every single purchase, basically. So
that's up quick.
Does not save you money at all. I paid for two flights this past fall for me and my fiance, and one of them, like, each flight was $1,300 cash, and I was able to pay for both of them. I still had points left over. I'm back to like having a lot more points now already to like buy my next flight. So take advantage of that. That is like probably the first thing I would recommend. I would say take advantage of like long weekends. Like, if you have a 3-day weekend, you can just add a day or two of your PTO or time off on the end, and that's 5 days. Like, you can do a lot in 5 days. I think people think that they have to have a 2-week vacation time slot in order to go somewhere. And that's not true. Like, you're just go now, do it when you have a little bit of time. You don't have to take like the biggest bite of a country ever and fit it all into you know, this one short time, but like just really enjoy like a piece of that country, or go somewhere regionally and enjoy that, spend a little bit longer than you normally would in a place that's near to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good way of looking at it, because yeah, if all your trips, you think that it has to be this 2-week vacation,
yeah,
then you're really not opening up yourself to some cool opportunities where you can make the most of a 3-day weekend and extend that out. Like I think about a trip that we took, gosh, when was this? It doesn't matter the year, but we went to, I want to say we went out to Colorado. It was like right at the end of Claire's maternity leave. So it must've been back in 2023. And I remember she popped into the office. It was like a Tuesday or something. She's like, do you want to go to Colorado this weekend or something? She's like, I have to go back to work on, I don't know, it must've been like the following Tuesday or something. And I was like, sure, let's go. Let's do it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's like, you had like almost a week,
mm-hmm.
right? To plan,
yeah.
And you made it happen. Like, it's very much possible. You have to have the drive, and you have to have, you know, the want to do it. I've done a trip where I flew from Denver to Santa Ana. So like Orange County, California. It's like a 2-hour flight, and we just went there for the day. So we like caught a flight 7 a.m., landed at 9 a.m., and then just spent the day. We rented a car. It was like $30 to rent a car for the day. And we just like drove like up the coast and stopped in a bunch of different little coastal towns, got brunch, got lunch, had, you know, a few little bevvies, enjoyed the beach. And then we went home at like 9 p.m. And it was like such a cheap way to go somewhere. Like, it doesn't take that long to get there. And when you're flying like that short of a distance between Colorado and California, the views are incredible. You're like flying like super low to like Utah, and like you're seeing like these canyons the whole way. So again, part of the experience.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say? Oh, not to interrupt your tips or anything like that, but this just kind of came to my mind. So does traveling always have to be expensive? What are some ways you can save money then?
Definitely not. When I first started traveling, I was in college and I didn't really have any money. So
like most college students. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But instead of just saying, oh, I don't have much money, like I can't do this big trip, I would take little trips whenever I could. Unfortunately, usually my time off fell in like the peak times. So I would go on to Skyscanner, Google Flights, and just type in wherever I was living, say I was flying out of Chicago to everywhere. And there's like a feature that you can search everywhere, and it just brings up like the cheapest flights available to any destination. So whether it's domestic or international, you can kind of filter and see what is going to be the best way versus saying, okay, it's Christmas time, I want to go to Hawaii. Hawaii flights are $1,300 to $1,800. That's not going to happen. Just look for somewhere else and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going somewhere off season or in the shoulder season is a big way to save money. And a lot of times, like these places, even though it's considered off season, it doesn't mean it's necessarily a bad time to go. For example, last January, I went to Portugal, and it felt like spring. It was like sun was out every single day. It was like in the mid 60s. And in Portugal, it's so hilly. You're doing a full workout, like going up and down hills. So 60 degrees and sunny is perfect weather for that.
Yeah.
And it was not that busy. Like, it was cheaper. The hotels were cheaper. So just consider that. Like, it doesn't always have to be the prime time to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I mean, like I said, be flexible, like be open to other destinations, do road trips. Road trips are such a good way to save money because you're not paying for flights. If you can take a few friends with you, you can split gas. There's so many places you can stay for pretty cheap. You can stay in hostels if you really needed to. You can get those for, I mean, less than $50 a night. And if you're open to more outdoorsy things, nature things, there's always like camping and, you know, being able to like stay cheaply if you have all the gear. Obviously, if you don't have any gear and you have to buy it, it's gonna get pricey. But once you have it, like you're good to go anytime.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when we went to the Smoky Mountains, this was when Claire and I got engaged on that trip. And we did camping for like two nights. And then on another night, we would go and stay at an Airbnb for the night or two nights to kind of freshen up and everything. And then we'd go back to camping. So if you can blend the two, it helps you save some money as well.
Yeah, I know. I keep seeing like the trend on like social media where it's like, pair something expensive with something cheap. And I find that that is like constantly how I'm like trying to travel. Not so much to save money all the time, but because I enjoy it, but it is a great way to save money. I like to like in Oman, we rented a car with a rooftop tent for a week. And then we stayed at like a five-star property in this like beautiful secluded bay for the end of the trip for a few nights. And it was like, okay, if we had just tried to do this like beautiful luxury property the whole time, obviously you kind of don't have as much money for, you know, spending on fun things like activities and food and things like that. So there's definitely ways you can mix it up.
Yeah. It's all about finding that balance and what works for you and your budget and everything. So
yeah. And of course, there's people out there that, you know, have a really big budget and they want to stay in like the finest properties. And I love planning those trips too. Like I love to live vicariously through people.
Exactly.
When they're, you know, on these luxury stays or, you know, big, big trips. So, I mean, we can plan it all. We can work with any kind of budget. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what is, so when you're going on your trips and everything, what's a travel item that you can't live without?
I have this neck pillow that I'm absolutely obsessed with. It's called the Pono Pillow.
It's the Pono Pillow.
Pono Pillow.
Okay.
Get it online. It's more expensive for a pillow, but it is like, it has the removable outside that you can wash, which every single time I get on a plane, I think about how disgusting that thing must be, dragging it around the airport and wherever I am traveling. And then it just like, it tightens around your neck so well. And it is the only thing I've been able to find that like I can actually sleep with. Mm-hmm. And then another like not really like super practical item, I love if I'm going to any beach or like water-based destination, I like to get like a $5 to $10 blow-up inner tube and pack it. And then like you have a little floaty everywhere you go. And it's just like so
something
fun
to keep in mind there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so fun to like just like be out on the water. If you're like at a beach and you just want to like get in the water, but you don't want to like fully swim. I don't know. I feel like girls especially love to like have a little floaty time. So, you know, a little drink in your hand, have a snack in your hand, whatever it may be, your book. And it just like low key elevates your trip.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. You know, just a little bit of relaxation time in the floaty. Yeah. See, up here in the Northwoods, we just go down the Namakagan River on a inner tube, and that's
that's fun too. We have that in Colorado, but I think we have a little bit more rapids than you might.
A little more to worry about, I think.
Yeah. But there are some really fun rivers to go down, but those ones I feel like you need a little bit of a bigger tube that versus like the $5 Target one.
Yeah, you might want to have a little something that can withstand some rocks.
Yeah, a little rock stab.
Yeah. Durability testing. So if you could spend I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. If you could spend a day in a city or in the countryside, which one are you picking and why?
Dalton, what's my answer?
Your answer is the countryside, Rhonda.
Yes, absolutely.
There we go.
I feel like the city is like the heartbeat of a country. And when you get out in the countryside, like that's really where you find the soul and like you really learn about a place. It feels like so authentic and charming, and it almost feels like you're like a part of it a little bit more. Versus in the city, I feel like it can feel a little bit like you're an outsider almost. And I just feel like, I don't know, all my memory, like my best memories are always somewhere out in nature, out in the countryside.
Yeah. When I think back to when we went to Hawaii for our honeymoon, we spent some time in like Waikiki Beach and Honolulu and everything like that. But we also spent a majority of our time on the North Shore of Oahu.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, just trying to think of all the Hawaiian islands real quick there. But on the North Shore of Oahu, and it felt more like a small town. And we found like this little acai bowl stand called the Sunrise Shack. Mm-hmm. And that they were just looking out at the ocean and had the sand, and then it was perfect. So we went there like every day. So I don't know, that to us felt like we got more of, I don't know.
It feels like Hawaii.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's what you picture. That's what you like. You want to feel those feelings when you're going
felt
to
more
Hawaii.
Connected.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
What's one of the most unique foods that you've had while traveling? Like, have you tried, I don't know, probably the one that most people think of like would be obscure, would be like bat or something like that. But have you, what are some unique foods that you've tried?
I have not tried any bat before. I think that people oftentimes relate traveling to like a lot of bizarre foods, but
right.
I don't know
what like Travel Channel shows they've been watching, but
yeah. I've had camel. I don't know if that's like that crazy, but I don't think it's something that's on most menus depending on where you go. But it just, I mean, it's not that like weird to taste it or try it. I've had
cooked that on the beach with the lobster.
I should have. I think
that
I had
one,
it like
right
I think
there.
I had it the next day.
Yeah.
I've had lamb heart. So I mean,
okay.
Again, I don't feel like it's that crazy, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. Have you had lamb heart?
I haven't. I've had deer heart. I mean, like that's kind of a thing. Yep. Like if you kill a deer, some people like to cook the heart and eat it. So
yeah.
It's just another version of that.
Rocky Mountain oysters. Have you had that?
Is that like a mushroom?
Let's just say it is, and then you can go try one.
Okay. I'll get back to you on that.
No, it's like,
I don't know.
It's like bison testicles.
Oh, okay. Well, that's totally different than what I was thinking. So yeah.
No, there's like the one thing I think of that I like don't know if I could try is balut. Have you heard of balut?
I'm going to try to describe it. I'm going to be totally off, but is it like a weird, like gooey soup?
So it's actually, so it's a popular like street food item in like the Philippines and like other parts of Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. It is a fermented duck embryo. So like a embryo that is like partially matured. So like there's like feathers on it, like soft feathers and soft bones. And you eat it with like, you eat it like straight out of the egg, and there's like some yolk in it. It's like people just eat that. It look it up later, like look up a picture.
I'm not gonna look that up, Rhonda.
No, you have to. It's terrifying. I'm not gonna try it. But
I don't need that to be a part of like my algorithm where they're like, yeah, let's keep showing him balut. I don't need that.
So that's one thing where I'm like, I don't think I could try that.
No. Yeah, that doesn't sound appetizing. One, how did somebody like figure out like, oh, hey, let's try this. Let's see if it tastes good. Like if I'm like visually having to I don't know, sacrifice my eyes to be have nightmares for the rest of my life. Like, it better taste really, really good.
I know.
It can't just like taste like okay. It's got to be like the best pizza you've ever had, like the best blue you ever had. Like, it's got to be the same.
Yeah, I don't know if I could get past like the texture though.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
That's where like a lot of weird foods, like for me, it's like a texture thing. Like, I think like, do you watch Survivor or have you watched Survivor?
Yeah.
Like back like in the early days when they would always like have to eat bugs and like grubs, things like that. See, like that for me, like that's not what I think of when I'm like traveling places. I'm not like, oh my God, like I have to try this here. Like, yeah, like I want to go like to like a really good authentic restaurant and try like local cuisine that like people eat on a day-to-day basis, not like something they just like found in their backyard and like decided to sell.
Right. Yeah. Let's dip this in chocolate and we'll get a tourist to eat this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you've been to many different countries, but what are still some places that are on your list to travel to?
Oh my gosh, that list is ever growing and enormous. Mm-hmm. But right now, like some top places for me are Kyrgyzstan, which is in like Central Asia. Sri Lanka, I would love to go to, which Sri Lanka is like just off the southern coast of India. They have like incredible safari there. So a lot of times people think of only safari in Africa. They have safari there as well. They also have like incredible tea plantations, incredible beaches. I would love to go to India. I haven't been there yet. That's like top of my list.
That's like the one place Claire has been to.
I know. She like finds like one little thing and she'll always rub it in my face that she's been somewhere. She had Japan for a little bit too, but I went there in March. So
there you go.
I got it on that. But yeah, she said a lot of good things about India, at least for her second time around.
Yeah. Well, that's when her world race got interesting, was when she was in India. So
I know.
So, yeah. So didn't get to experience.
Couldn't continue that on.
Right. Yeah. But so India, anywhere else besides that?
I have a running list of places that I've been to where I might want to go back to like different parts of it, or like I have like specific hotels I want to go to. So even if I've been to that country before, or if I haven't been to that country before, I have like a running list of like properties I want to visit. I also have like a list of like restaurants I want to go to. So it's always like, it's always growing. Like there's this one property in Greece called Gundari, and it's on this little island called Folegandros. And it's like this tiny little village on it. And this like newer property that's just like on a cliff basically. And you have like your own private swim up pool, which is a common thing in Greece. But like this one is like the only nice property on this island. And you have like access to like electric bikes and you can just like zip around this like super raw, rugged island. So like properties like that, where it's like, there's something really specific about it that I want to visit. Usually there's some sort of nature aspect involved. There's one in like the Italian Dolomites called Forestus that I want to go to. So there's a lot of them.
Yeah. So even though you've been on a lot of trips, there's still a lot of places that you want to go to.
Oh my God. I mean, there's 195 to 197 countries, depending on who you ask, to visit. So, I mean, you're never going to even like visit every little place in all of those countries. So I don't think my list will ever end.
Right. Yeah. And never stop exploring is probably the mindset you have.
Mm-hmm. Where do you want to go next?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I feel like stateside, experiencing Vermont and Maine, like in the fall, is kind of like at the top of my list. But as far as internationally, I would say, probably I'd want to check out some parts of like, I think Australia or New Zealand would be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Even though that'd be an even longer flight, it would still be worth it. It's part of the journey. It's part of the part of getting to the roller coaster. Yep. But I feel like that'd be pretty cool. Otherwise, probably like Paris or London, some of those more like notably historic cities where a lot of art is and things like that. But
I have yet to go to Vermont. It's one of the last few states I have to go to in order to, you know, say I visited all 50. So I'm open to going with Claire and you, and we can always make a
we can do like a couple's trip.
Yes, we have some other friends that live there, so that would be fun.
Yeah, that would be. So how can people get in touch with you about assisting them with their travels?
Yeah, so I have a website, wildatlastravels.com. I have a contact form on there where I ask you some questions. After that, I usually set up a discovery call. It's a complimentary call. There's no charge for that. Just to make sure that, you know, we're on the same page and going to be the right fit for working together. And that's the best way. You can also reach me on Instagram at Wild Atlas Travels. You can send me a DM. I can always just send you the link if you want to reach me that way. So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So definitely, folks, reach out to Rhonda. She does a great job with what she does when it comes to planning and making the trip the best as possible for you. Can't recommend her enough and appreciate all she's done for Claire and I on our trip. So Rhonda, thank you for coming on the show and just talking about traveling. And we'll see you. Well, if we don't see you before, we'll see you in October.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. Happy to talk anytime about travel, give you all the inspo, and we'll see you in October.
All right, sounds good. Have a good night.
Bye, you too.
Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast. Feel free to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on Apple Music and Spotify Music so you know when our latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast is coming out. That about does it for us, so continue to be kind to one another, and we'll see you around town.